We're going to be looking at the ecumenical movement today and some thoughts about it and how we should respond to it. The term ecumenical, as defined in the Webster's Dictionary, is promoting or tending toward worldwide Christian unity. Again, promoting or tending toward worldwide Christian unity. Well, if it were actually Christian unity that we were tending toward, we would have to say we would be all for that. If it was actually Christian unity. You know, we are supposed to be in unity with our Christian brothers. The problem is that ecumenicalism does not include only Christian churches. And we have to talk about, you know, what is the definition of Christian? We're living in a society where a lot of these terms become very skewed, don't they? What is Christian? You know, a lot of people think Christian is just taking on a name, kind of like I'm Irish, or I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus, or I'm a member of the Masons, or I'm a member of the some club. I'm a Christian. But Christianity is much more than a club or an organization. Christianity is taking on the name of Christ. Christianity also is based on the Bible. It's based on the sacred scriptures. It's based upon a person having been born again by the Spirit of God. And it's subscribing to God's Word. So ecumenicalism is truly gone awry in that it does not make as a prerequisite standing upon the Word of God for unity. There's many other things that there's a massive tendency towards churches now to agree upon the least common denominator. For an example, if we can agree on something that we're for or against, then we can have unity on that. For an example, abortion. If we can agree that we're against abortion, then we're in unity with each other. If we can agree that we are against homosexuality, then we're in unity with each other. If we can agree that everybody should just love everybody, we're in unity with each other. If we can agree with and on and on and on it goes. Maybe modes of baptism or the Lord's Supper or sacraments or whatever. But we're going to look in the book of Galatians. Paul talks about those who would try to join with groups that are denying the Bible. That's what all of Galatians is warning people in the Christian religion not to associate or to be a part of those who are denying the Bible. He says in the first chapter of Galatians, the sixth verse, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now that is a very, very strong exhortation by Paul, that if somebody is out preaching something other than what Paul is preaching, let him be accursed. Let me give you a few examples, okay? If someone is out preaching that you have to pray to Mary, okay, or that you have to speak in tongues to be saved, okay, or that you have to be involved in doing works to be saved, for an example, fasting, saying prayers, doing the rosary, buying indulgences, those kind of things. He says that these people are not preaching the gospel of Christ. That he says this is not the gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so now the ecumenical movement is trying to bring in the Catholic Church and all the different churches together, and they have perverted the gospel of Christ. And he says, all these people that are doing that, let them be accursed. And he repeats himself twice, doesn't he? And first he says that in the 8th verse, and then again in the 9th verse, he repeats himself and says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel in you than ye have received, let him be accursed. The problem with our society is we have so embellished humanistic philosophy that, and the doctrine of tolerance, that we've given up the standards of the Word of God. And the standards of the Word of God is, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so he goes on and he talks about the dangers of joining with those who are preaching another gospel. If you've listened to any of my other messages regarding the doctrine of Arminianism, we see that it is another gospel. It is not a gospel based upon the grace of God. It's a doctrine based upon works. And there's now those that are trying to say that anyone that makes or takes a position against the heresy. Now, when I say heresy, I'm talking about as it relates to Orthodox Christianity. I'm talking about biblical doctrine now. I'm not talking about what is the accepted doctrine in our day, because the accepted doctrine in our day is primarily Arminianism. And so now we have Jerry Falwell getting up and saying that, you know, limited atonement is heresy. Okay? What I'm speaking of is the biblical doctrine of Jesus Christ. Okay? When he says that all that the Father has given me will come to me, I'm also speaking of the biblical doctrine of Paul. When Paul says that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, the children not being yet born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. And those people that are denying that and saying, you know, I don't go along with that, and that's not really what that says, they're preaching another gospel. And if we join with those people, we are doing the very thing that Paul says not to do. Paul says to let those people be accursed. And I can just hear people saying now, wow, he is radical. He's saying that anybody that, you know, joins with the Arminians is preaching another gospel. And that is exactly what Paul said, because Paul was preaching against those who were denying the doctrines of grace. That's what he was coming against. He says in the second chapter, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, how do the Arminians operate by the works of the law? Well, first of all, if you don't let Jesus into your heart, he will not get into your heart. Okay, they'll tell you that. It's up to your free will. It's up to your choice. It's up to your decision. And Paul preaches very much against that. Paul said that faith comes by... faith is a gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We find that in Ephesians. For here in Galatians, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, that's exactly, you know, Arminianism is really a, it's really no different than Catholicism. It's really no different than Catholicism, because Arminianism says that you can lose your salvation. They say that you can at any time lose your salvation. And here he says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. He says, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The just shall live by faith. You know, back to Martin Luther and his 95 theses that he nailed to the door of there and came against the Roman Catholic Church and ushered in the Great Reformation. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And so he's coming against works doctrine. He's coming against those that would say that we are cooperative agents with God. He's coming against those that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he said it's not the gospel at all, but it's a perversion of the gospel. He says, Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And so he says that as far as the Christians are concerned, verse 26 of Galatians 3, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, it's not, doesn't have anything to do with, we're not children of God by baptism, baptismal regeneration. We're not children of God by being baptized as a little baby, as an infant. We're not children of God by executing our free will. He says it's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. It's not by doing the sacraments. It's not by going on a pilgrimage or a crusade or praying to Mary or saying the rosary. And any of those people that are participating in that, Paul says, let them be anathema as far as our fellowship with them, as far as fellowshipping and bringing them in to the body of Christ and participating in ecumenical activity with those people that we just talked about there. He says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Okay? And so He makes a distinction between those who are still doing the works of the law as a means of what they say as a means of eternal life, doing the works of the law as a means of eternal life, rather than those who are trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the calling and the glorifying and the justifying of all of the work being of God. So He says, Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he is of the free woman was by the promise. Okay, and He says here to cast out the bondwoman. Okay? We are the brethren, now we brethren as Isaac are the children of promise. We are not the children of the bondwoman, but the free. We're not under as a means to say that we have to do anything to merit God's favor is putting us under law, saying that we have to keep the law perfectly. And the only one that kept the law perfectly was Jesus Christ. He says here, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says that everyone that does that, everyone that tries to get into work salvation, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace, is what He says. You hear what I'm saying? Paul says here, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You know, if Paul was here today, he would not be bringing in the Roman Catholic Church and the Arminians and all of those that are into works doctrine, Assembly of God churches that teach that you have to speak in tongues to be saved and all these other works doctrines, he would say they were fallen from grace. He says in Christ Jesus Christ, verse 6 of chapter 5, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So he says here, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Ecumenicalism, the ecumenical movement, has done more to destroy biblical doctrine than anything else. It's done more to damage the doctrine of Christ than anything else, because it preaches a different gospel. He says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He says, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? He says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. You've been called unto liberty. And so, he talks about here that we need to take a stand. We need to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We're not to be worshiping. We're not to be fellowshipping with those who are teaching another doctrine. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So, you know, Paul is very adamant here about upholding the doctrine of Christ and what Christ has done, not what man has done. You know, he was preaching to the church at Galatia who were trying to get the Gentiles to go back into circumcision again, and making circumcision a prerequisite for a person's salvation, to be a prerequisite for a membership into the body of Christ. And that's exactly what now the ecumenical movement is doing. They're trying to say that if you don't accept every person who names Christ, then you're not truly a brother. Okay? You have to accept anyone who names Christ. No, I don't have to accept anyone that names Christ. These people are false Christ. The Roman Catholic Church is not a member of the Christian faith. They are a false religion. They invoke the name of Christ, and then at the same time their Pope says that he's the vicar of Christ. Why should I accept those people as brothers in Christ when they, by their very actions, deny Christ and his gospel? And so this ecumenical movement is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to, because it's a means of Satan to promote something that is absolutely contrary to the Bible. And we need to take a stand against it. And when we see all these churches coming under the ecumenical banner, you know, the United Methodists, the Roman Catholics, the Assemblies of God, the United Presbyterians, the Lutherans, all the major denominations now coming under one umbrella, we see that this is a world church that's beginning to develop, and it's really pretty well developed now, isn't it? And it's a perversion of the gospel, and we need to take a stand against the ecumenical movement. Father, we pray that you would help us examine these things, and help us to come out from among these people who are teaching another gospel, and help us to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, your grace that you've given to us, not of our works. You've done all the work. You've paid all the price. You've paid the ransom for your children, and you will not share your glory with another. We pray that you would help us to always exalt your name and your work, and magnify your grace. We ask in your name, for your glory alone. Amen.